So the reading comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. You can find that on page 1203. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
When do you actually know someone? I mean, really know them. We work in a surreal environment here in the city, don't we? We know so many people, and yet we know very few of them. Most of us will have LinkedIn contacts running up to the hundreds, but real friends are difficult to find. Have you ever seen the movie Avatar? It's the highest grossing movie of all time, I think. So hopefully a few of you have. The native inhabitants of Pandora, the big blue guys, have a saying, a greeting of respect they give to one who has shown noble character. I see you. I see you. It doesn't mean I see you physically. I see all 5 meters of blueness. It means I see your character. I see your soul. I see who you are. I know you. The question we are considering today is, whether we can know God. I mean, actually, know God. Is it possible to say to the Creator of heaven and earth, I see you? For many, the first hurdle is that we cannot physically see God, but that's not such a big problem, is it? Knowing a person, I mean, really knowing them, has got relatively little to do with their physical attributes. How much can you tell from me, about me, from looking at me, from taking my measurements? Can you tell what makes me happy or sad? Can you tell what gets me up in the morning? I was fortunate that my wife and I had a long-distance relationship before we got married. 2 weeks before she left England to move back to South Africa, I told her I liked her and I wanted us to stay in touch. For 2 years, we wrote emails and texted and phoned, and then we got married. It worked out really well. I got to know her person before I got to know her physically. I didn't need to see her to get to know her. All I needed was for her to open up to me, and I opened up to her. So, how can we know God? Well, we would need him to open up to us, to make himself known to us. Wonderfully, he has done just that. Know God by listening to what he says through the Bible. Let's read again those verses read to us earlier. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken. He has revealed himself in time and space. Right from the beginning of recorded history, he has been showing himself, handpicking the people who would be his spokesman, the prophets, showing himself to them in visions and dreams and revelations, and commanding them to go and tell others about him. He not only spoke through the prophet's words, but he backed up these messages by acting time and time again in history, doing what he said he would. This is the Old Testament, a collection of 39 books revealing God's character and God's plan for the world. Have you read it? Do you know that more than 40% of the Old Testament is history? A sort of highlights package of God's dealings with man? But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. In the past, God spoke by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken by his Son. See how the Son is described. The heir of all things. Everything belongs to him. Through whom he created the world. Everything was made by him. The radiance of the glory of God. God's awesomeness radiates from the Son in all its fullness. The exact imprint of his nature. When you look at the Son, you see the Father. Exactly. Do I need to tell you who that refers to? Was there ever a man such as Jesus of Nazareth? Angels announced his birth. Foreign astronomers crossed a vast desert to come and pay homage to him. The stars having announced that the long-awaited King of the Jews was born. He controlled the forces of nature. Evil fled before him. He spoke and blind eyes opened, deaf ears heard, lame legs walked, dead men breathed again. God endorsed him audibly from heaven, saying, "This is my Son, listen to him." This man, this Jesus who lived in the Middle East 2,000 years ago and was shown unmistakably to be the Son of God, he is our ultimate messenger. He tells us, shows us who God is, what he is like, what he wants from us. Knowing God is about knowing Jesus. Know Jesus and you know God. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. The point is not that God said one thing through the prophets and another through the Son. Rather, that after millennia of speaking through human prophets, God took it to a whole new level of opening up. He sent his Son to come and make him fully known. In fact, the prophets were merely preparing the way for the Son to have the final say. My mates argue there are other religions, other holy books, other prophets. Without being too simplistic, I have to ask them, how do you compare 2,000 years of God's dealings in history to a revelation given to a single person in a cave? How do you compare Jesus of Nazareth with any other person who ever lived? God spoke through the prophets and then through Jesus. That is why we can know him. We can't figure him out. We can't find him within our hearts or under a microscope or beyond the moon. We can't summon him or conjure him up. No amount of meditation or medication will cause him to magically appear. We can't rationalize him or get our heads around him, but he has made himself known. God spoke at many times and in many ways in history, in time and space. He spoke. He acted. He made promises and fulfilled them. God spoke fully and finally through Jesus, the Son of God, living and speaking on earth. I've had the privilege of being part of a Bible overview course. I loved it so much, I did it 3 times. Each time we were a group of around 10 people, a mix of students and working folk, meeting with about 100 other people on an organized evening. Every Thursday night, and reading through the Bible, most of the Bible, in a year. Does that sound boring? I took my wife with me as well. It was the first year of our marriage. We were both commuting into the city for work. Busy people, you know, working, socializing. But studying the Bible was our weekly priority. Was it boring? Those were some of the most meaningful, challenging, eye-opening, liberating evenings I have ever experienced. I still remember many an evening commuting home late at night, surrounded by folk who had blown their minds on booze, but we were high on revelation, thrilled at what we had just learned about the God who made us. God had been opening up to us in a very real way with the help of other Christians. We spent 3 of our weeks in the Bible overview working through this sermon to the Hebrews. You know what struck me as we worked our way through it? As the writer quotes the Old Testament, documents written thousands of years ago, he uses the present tense. The Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit bears witness. As we engage with God's message spoken in the past, God speaks to us in the present. As the writer puts it in chapter 4, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Bible cuts you in half. The message is not a dead message, it's a living message. And as the Bible is engaged with, read prayerfully, taught faithfully, God speaks to our hearts through that very same message spoken long ago. What role does the Bible play in your life? Do you allow God to speak to you, or do you block him out? We can know God by listening to what he says through the Bible, through Jesus. Can I say that in the negative, just to be crystal clear? We cannot know God without listening to what he says through the Bible. If we disregard the Bible, God's highlights package of his dealings with man, the revelation of Jesus Christ, we cannot know God. But listening to the Bible is not enough. Know God by repenting and trusting in Jesus. When God opens up to us, it is to call us into a living relationship with himself. Know God by repenting and trusting in Jesus. When I ask my colleagues whether they think we can know God, they mostly say no. God has made it too confusing. Look at all the religions of the world, all the different ways of worshiping God. I have to agree with them. It is very confusing. But they miss this point. Religion isn't God's idea. It's man's idea. Religion, if by religion you mean people earning kudos with God through their religious devotions, is man-made. God is not the one muddying the waters. We are. He doesn't tell us to become more religious. He tells us to repent. Repent seems an old-fashioned word. It simply means to change your mind, to change the direction of your life. We repent every day. You're on your way to platform 4 to catch a train. The announcement comes in. Platform alteration. The 6:30 into London Bridge will now depart from platform 6. You repent, turn around, and make a run for it in order to get a seat. When I first spent time with real Christians, people who spoke about God as if they knew him, who were serious about what he said, committed to living his way, I had to repent of what I thought Christianity was all about. Start from scratch. Learn the ropes. I'm still learning. God doesn't want us to get religious. He wants us to listen to him and repent. Keep listening to him and keep repenting. It's having the humility to be corrected, to be instructed, to be trained in truth by the God who made us. I wonder why we find it so difficult to repent when it comes to God. Most of us are humble enough to know we don't do everything right. We don't know everything right. We are open to our bosses telling us how we can do our jobs better, our partners telling us how we can dress better, our media idols telling us how we can be better people. Who do you follow on Twitter? Piers Morgan? Stephen Fry? Harry Styles? What qualifies them that you value their opinion so highly? Friends, listen. We have Jesus, who made heaven and earth, to whom it all belongs, who holds it all together, the radiance of the glory of God speaking to us, telling us how it is. Do you think he might know a few things that we don't? So what is he telling us to repent of? Many, many, many things. Following Jesus will turn your whole worldview on its head. Everything you think you know will be challenged. But the biggest thing to repent of, actually, is self-sufficient, self-centered religion. Coming to God with our own achievements. Would you like a one-sentence summary of Jesus' achievement here on earth? Jesus made purification for sins. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Let's read it. After making purification for sins, that's Jesus on earth, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's Jesus in heaven. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Jesus made purification for sins. There is a moral gap between ourselves and God. God is morally perfect, and we are morally twisted. We cannot enjoy a living relationship with a holy God until our sin is dealt with. All religions seem to recognize this gap, and each religion provides some way to try and close the gap, to try and make up for our moral failings, to try and earn our way back to God. But the message of the Bible, the message of Jesus, shows us that there is no way we can ever earn our way back. We are slaves to our sin. We don't have the means to pay for the mountain of moral debt we have racked up. We are bankrupt. Religion is a sham. Religion is a cover-up, a magic trick. It diverts all the attention to my good works over here, failing to deal with my lifelong rebellion and indifference over here. It's not just those who go to the church or the temple who are religious, who cover up in this way. The city is rife with religion. The outward appearances we're determined to keep up. The city's moral code. Don't smoke. Don't eat meat. Have your 5 a day, or is it 7? Don't be racist. Don't be homophobic, etc. Don't mishear me. These are fine things to aspire to. Well, everything except the don't eat meat bit, I'd say. But the verdict seems to be that this is now the ultimate standard. If you do the above, then you're a good person. And if there's a God, he should certainly be obliged to welcome you with open arms. Do you think God is impressed? What about his greatest commandment? Do we even know it? The one he gave to Moses. The one Jesus affirmed. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. How are we doing with that one? Just because our colleagues and our culture accepts us doesn't mean God will. This relationship is different. God is perfect. We're not. We are not able to take the initiative in closing the gap between ourselves and God. We can hide our hearts from each other. We can put up a front, keep up appearances. But God knows. God sees. No one can hide from him. But history shows us that God has taken the initiative. Isn't that amazing? Jesus has paid for each and every sin of each and every person who would put their trust in his great achievement on the cross. Jesus made purification for sins. And then he sat down, finished. Through Jesus we can be forgiven. We can know God as his friends. All we need to do is to get real with God. Open up to him. You know what, God? I see that what you're saying is true. You are perfect. I fall short. I have nothing to impress you with. No clever argument. No repayment to make. I need your mercy. Do you think you can do that? It's wonderfully liberating opening up like that and finding that God shows tender mercy to the humble. God has been speaking clearly and consistently throughout history, and his message is this: Jesus has made purification for sins. You can come to me through him. Stop trying to bargain with me. Leave your good works at the door. Repent and trust in Jesus. Relationship with God is about listening to God and repenting every day. It's liberating and it's real. Gone are the days of covering up. You might know V.J. Menon, that joyful Indian gentleman who roams the buildings here at St. Helens. If you've spoken to him for more than 20 seconds, you know that he used to be a Hindu. This man has been serving the Lord zealously for, 50 years. He doesn't miss a prayer meeting. He reads the Bible one-to-one with a handful of people every single day. I don't know anyone who works harder for the Lord. You know what he says to me? Even now, I am not good enough for God. After 50 years of serving God wholeheartedly, says Vijay, I'm not good enough for him. Is that bad self-esteem? You don't know Vijay. It's the realism of a man who knows God and sees himself in the light of God's glory. As we grow in knowing God in all his perfection and holiness, we are increasingly aware of our utter unworthiness, increasingly dependent on the cross of Christ. You know what Vijay says when he opens the Bible after 50 years of reading it? Show me. Lord, show me. Humble, hungry to know God, quick to repent, always trusting in the cross. What an example it is to me of the Christian life. So often, I just go through the motions of reading the Bible and attending church without ever listening to what God is saying to me, absorbing it, taking it to heart, changing my thinking and my actions. Such a dangerous place to be. Before you know it, you're thinking more of your own achievement than of Christ's. That's religion, not repentance. Lord, show me. Help me to listen and to repent. Preparing for this talk has challenged me to get real with God. I hope it helps some of you do the same. Let me conclude. We can know God. He has made himself known in history. He makes himself known today as his Spirit tells us the message of Jesus recorded in the Bible. If we come to him humbly, we can know him. If we allow him to speak to us on his own terms, he promises to make himself known to us. Friends, there is no greater privilege given to man than to know our eternal Creator, to live in relationship with him. God wants people to know him. He has gone to great lengths to make himself known. He is looking for people who say to him, God, I see you. I see that you are right in everything you do. I see that you are always faithful to your promises. I see that you are gracious in your dealings with man. I see that you are just, a righteous judge who will not let the guilty go unpunished. I need your mercy. Jesus, I see you. I see your perfect obedience to the Father. I see your suffering, your sacrifice, the price you paid for me on the cross. I see you raised from the dead and enthroned in glory. I see you and I worship you, Messiah, Son of God. I love you. I trust you. I want to take up my cross and follow you. I want to give my life to you, for you are worthy. Though we can't see him physically, we can know God today. Soon will be the time to see him face to face. Every person will see Jesus crowned in glory and honor. Look into his eyes on the day we give account of our lives. That day will show who it is who really knows him, who it is who trusts in his great achievements at the cross. I pray every one of us will be welcomed on that day. Listen to God, repent, trust in Jesus. Let's pray. We see you, gracious God, in all your majesty. We thank you for who you are. We're amazed that you would reach out to us. We pray that you will create in us a hunger to know you, and that we will be listening to you and absorbing what you say to us, repenting, changing our lives, changing our thinking. What a great God you are. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.